Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, America, and good afternoon, world. Good afternoon, America, and good afternoon, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed in their portion of the planet, their piece of the big blue marble. Like I always say, hang on, because change is coming. Change is coming. It seems like it's not, you know, it seems like nothing's changing for a lot of people out there. But trust me when I tell you, if you know what's going on behind the scenes and what's actually taking place and transpiring, and you're not living your life like sheeple, you know, taking everything that you watch in the media, CNN and Fox News, for face value, then you know for a fact that change is coming. Change is on its way. It's a little rough area that we're going through right now. It's a little bumpy, a little rough, but rough patch, racial tensions and things of that nature. When those things come up, when those racial energies come to pass in our human civilization, they do that for an alignment or a realignment or a readjusting, if you will. You know, some people get complacent in their trajectory, in their evolution. Some people take advantage of complacency in some cultures' evolution. Let me be perfectly clear here. We are all one human race. I want to thank everybody that comes out to the broadcast, and I don't do it as often as I should. I'm going to try to pick up the pace and the number of broadcasts that I do, because I see a lot of things that are missing, and a lot of things are misunderstood. A lot of things are misdirected in the media, and as a result, you know, we're kind of we're a little off track, if you will, as a human race. But I do want to thank everybody that comes out to the broadcast. Continue to come out if you're part of a large organization, such as a church following, or some type of educational group, or whatever the case may be. Please invite, you know, all your members to come out to this broadcast. Simply because, you know, or you can, you know, take this information and translate it, you know, yourself into your broadcast, you know, into your congregation or your educational following or whatever the case may be. You know, just as long as this message gets out, I really don't care where it comes from. I mainly do this broadcast because of the ears of influence. You know, they do tune into this broadcast. And I see things that are happening out there in the world as a direct result of this broadcast and some of the things that are being said here. The reason I feel compelled to do this broadcast is because I see the stupocrisy out here in the world, in the nation, and in the world that is taking place. And it's kind of amazing to me because I sit back and I look at these people that are, you know, media professionals, disseminators of information, leaders, even of the, you know, even all the way up to the president, you know, President Obama. But he has a pretty good understanding. He has a real good understanding of what's really going on in the world and as things evolve. And he's taking the right approach. He really is, because people, the majority of people, and I'm just going to be specific, the majority of white people, they don't understand the jihadists. They don't understand that mentality of the holy jihad. They really don't. This is a very unconventional ideology. It's not, you know, the type where, you know, you just go grab a bunch of guns and weapons and things like that, and, you know, and you go to fighting, you know, straight up. You know, they are very covert. They are very, you know, behind the scenes, and, you know, you never know where they're coming from. You know, all of these people, you know, blowing themselves up. We had a gentleman got into a truck, big old truck, and plowed over 84 people, you know, and I believe it was in Nice, France. We've had the explosions in Turkey, the Turkish airport, things going on in Paris, things going on in the United States. Folks, this is real warfare. I mean, it really is. And, you know, they charged President Obama for being weak, for not calling it terrorism or Islamic extremists or whatever this nonsense, you know, is in terms of terminology. President Obama, he doesn't want to give them that satisfaction. You know, see, and this is the art of psychological warfare that, again, like I say, right off the bat, most white people just don't understand, because people like Trump, you know, and followers of, you know, Trump and stuff, they want to label them and call them this. Well, that's gratifying to them. In an ironic, crazy type of way, they get ultimate satisfaction by being labeled as such. Take, for instance, if something takes place, then you know, ISIS wants to claim, you know, the affiliation with the person, with the actors of destruction immediately, whether they are or whether they aren't. And, you know, if you think about it for a minute, what does it take to be an ISIS affiliate? You could convert to the ISIS, be an ISIS affiliate in literally 2 seconds, literally 2 seconds. And it's just by saying a short phrase followed by Allahu Akbar, and you have converted to Islam, to the extremists or to ISIS. So for you to, you know, for the media to try to, you know, rationalize or partition or, you know, say that who's who and what's what, you don't know. You simply do not know. And you could go and try to find, you know, all the information, you know, at raid their homes and raid their places and all this other kind of stuff after, you know, a terrible act has taken place. You may find some information. You may find some pamphlets. You may not. You never know what went on in that mind, in that radical mind, before it did those radical acts. And conversion is literally that quick. Okay, so for Mr. Obama not to try to, you know, not to give him the satisfaction of calling him this, you have to understand the psychological art of jihadist warfare. You don't. You really don't. Okay, so anyhow, that's that. You probably should all come on board with that. But anyhow, today is July the 24th, 2016. As a matter of fact, I just want to put that out there. And again, like I said, I thank everybody for coming out to the broadcast and Blog Talk Radio for allowing this media to be available. Now, I was watching Fox News the other day. I think it was Fox News or CNN. It was CNN. And they had this guy, Boris Epstein, on there. And he says that 70%, and he's a spokesman for Donald Trump. And he says that 70% of America thinks the country is headed in the wrong direction. 70%, folks. That's an outright lie. That is an outright, bold-faced lie. And the reason I say that is because where they now 70% of his following, you know, may say that the country's headed in the wrong direction, you know, or of the right wing, you know, or the right wing or side party, you know, the Republican side party, or more specifically, angry, you know, white folks may feel this way, but that is not the majority of the country. Trust me when I tell you that, that is not the majority of the country. And two, the media sets up such a negative, they're very, how can I put it? They're like herding sheep or herding cattle or something like that. They can make things go and flow in the direction that they kind of want to, simply because they repeat things over and over until it is a subliminal brainwashing, if you will, or making people go in a certain direction. Benghazi is a perfect and prime example. They said this thing over and over and over again until it actually stuck on Hillary Clinton. Now, I watched the movie 13 Hours, and I've always told you that Benghazi was a right-wing conspiracy headed and put forward by candidate for president Mitt Romney and his constituents and his group. Do they have the money to do that? Can they pay these guys off to pay a small, a militia group or attack group over there in Libya, in Benghazi, Libya, especially at that day and time? Yes, they could, because you got to remember that the Americans were considered liberators. They took out Muammar Gaddafi, and they were considered heroes and liberators to free their land of oppression and give everybody a fair shake and a fair shot in democracy. So Chris Stevens and them, at that particular point in time, and I remember an article that I read, way back, a little bit after that time, that was posted out, and it's been snatched off the internet, as a matter of fact. It's been taken away, and I wonder why. But anyhow, it clearly said, and it read that they had no concerns, or they were not afraid or in fear of attack or anything at the consulate, prior to this Benghazi attack, or 13 hours, if you will. They had remarked on there how welcoming, the people of Benghazi and Libya were for the Americans, for liberating their country, for liberating their lands and stuff. So they were looked up as kind of as heroes at that particular point in time. Chris Stevens commented on being able to walk freely and out of the consulate without any problems or apprehension. And everything was just, going really well. No problem. This is why they didn't have, added or heightened security around the consulate at that particular time, because there was no sign of aggression by the Libyan people towards the Americans there at the consulate. Then all of a sudden, all heck breaks loose. I'll just say all hell breaks loose, because basically that's what it was at that particular point in time for those people. And they had all of these small arm fire. They had RPGs. They had all this weaponry, shooting allegedly at the consulate. And this siege went on for 13 hours. 13 hours, folks. Now, this is the strange irony behind this whole thing, and I'm going to try to clear this up once and for all. And I certainly want the ears of influence to hear and understand this, that somebody out here knows the truth. And I don't know why the Obama administration and others, maybe the Clinton administration, I don't know, on the party of truth, we'll just say it like that, doesn't put out the actual reason and who's actually behind these attacks. Because if you notice, they never found any of the people that actually did it. They come up with some, ragtag names and ragtag people that allegedly done this thing, but they didn't do a heightened investigation or an intense investigation. They could pay people right there in Benghazi. They could pay them, and they wouldn't have to pay them much, $500 American, and I guarantee you they would go to pointing fingers as to who actually did this, from number one man all the way down to the number 14th man, or number 37th man, or number 167th man. They would point each and every person out for a little bit of money. That's how they operate. All right. Never done that. Never done that. Now, why is it? Conspiracy. Here you go. All right. Now, they had a 13-hour siege. All of this weaponry. Look at the movie. Look at the movie 13 Hours. And if it's even remotely close of a depiction to Benghazi, boy, you can see it. You can see the conspiracy as plain as the nose on your face. All of this weapon fire, RPGs, AK-47s, all that kind of stuff, shooting off and stuff by all of these different radical people. and only 4 Americans died? Four Americans died. Now, those 4 Americans didn't die from gunshot or from explosion. They died from smoke inhalation, They went to an area in the conflict that they couldn't escape, and they died of smoke inhalation. Now, that tells me they wasn't supposed to die in the first place at all. If all of that stuff was taking place, all of them rounds being fired, all of the RPGs being let loose, and only 4 Americans died? Wow, really? Okay, so, anyhow, peel back the layers, folks. There it is. With the 4 Americans, like I say, dying of smoke inhalation. This is too far-fetched, too far amazing to me. There's something there. Had these folks really carried out an attack, you know, for that period of time? And why did they just attack for a short period of time, with, 13 hours? If they were really angry and there was something, you know, behind, you know, something real behind this, this conspiracy, then the attacks would have continued on for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, you know. They had enough firepower. They stole all them weapons and stuff from Muammar Gaddafi. They had enough firepower to carry on, a siege for days or months, you know, if that was truly the case. But it wasn't, folks. It's a conspiracy here. And it was to put a black eye on the Obama administration, you know, during the time of the reelection. It did not work. It was a failed attempt. Sadly, 4 Americans died in that effort. They don't want to really investigate this too heavily, and it seems like it don't want to be investigated by both sides. Because if they peel back enough layers and go talk to the right people over there, the people of Libya, of Benghazi, they'll expose the truth. They'll tell it right off the bat. It won't take much money, much time, effort, anything. Who paid them and whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff for them to carry out this conspiracy. So anyhow, that's that. So I want that to go to rest. You know, y'all keep charging Hillary Clinton with, you know, failed efforts or whatever the case may be about get Benghazi. There's a truth there. This is the truth. Here comes the truth. And I hope one day that they just pull it out, you know, and put it up and post it up and let it, you know, what it'll do, it'll be so damaging for the Republican Party, for the Republican right. They may cease to exist. And this is why I think that they won't pull it out and expose it for what it truly was. But anyhow, okay, so that's that. So know that we know the truth. All right, now, this war is as science says that 70% of the country is going in the wrong direction. Now, let's look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics right quick. And you can simply do that by going to National Job Report. Just Google that and go down to the data for data.gov. It's one of the lines there, and click on it, one of the hyperlinks there, and click on it. And it'll take you to the jobs report. And it shows about all employees, and it's in thousands, of course. And it goes back from January of 2006 all the way to January of 2016, all right? Now, if you look at the chart there, and it's a month-net chart, you'll see that the only dip or negative numbers that we had in the job and the labor market was during January of 2009. Okay, Mr. Obama came in on this decline. If you notice in 2008, when the country was in decline, okay, you can look at that number, you can look at that chart right there, and look like it done fell off a cliff, look like it was cliff diving, you know, and it goes down to January of 2009, okay. Then Mr. Obama comes in, and look at this. He turns things around. It's like he turned that pony around in the middle of the street, grabbed the rein, turned him around, and in by January of 2010, we were at zero. We were actually over on the positive side Now, the negative number, folks, the lowest negative number I believe on here is 823, negative 823,000 jobs, if I'm looking at this correctly. Yes, 823 to the negative. Minus, look at all these minuses. Look at minuses from 2007, all these minuses all the way up until 2010. Yeah, 2010. That was the last year of the minuses, 2010. But here's the irony, folks. Here's the thing about it. From 2010, from September, from October of 20, and it's almost like you turn the doggone thing around. This, you know, this is amazing. From a negative 52,000 in September to a positive 257,000 in October. That's a one month swing, folks. And when Mr. Obama got a hold of this thing, look at this. This is amazing. If you take this country, if you think the country is going in the wrong direction, don't listen to what people say. The lip service, that's misleading and flat out lies. Look at the numbers for yourself. Don't be like sheeple. Okay, look at the numbers for yourself. Now we have a positive number from October of 2010 going forward. Here we are in 2016, folks. And we still positive. We ain't never went negative since after Mr. Obama got into the office of presidency. Now, if you think that that's leading in the wrong direction, I don't know. I probably need to sell you some oceanfront property in Oklahoma or Idaho, Kansas, or something, because you don't see the big picture at all. You don't get it. Look at the numbers. Don't listen to the lies. Look at the numbers for yourself. Last month, June, a positive 287,000 jobs. Now, this is in process. We had a dip in May of 11,000 jobs, and it's in process. But we'll go back to April, which is already in the bank, of 144,000 jobs added. Prior to that, 186,000 jobs added. Prior to that, 233,000 jobs added. Now, that sounds a heck of a whole lot better than a negative 823. Now, so my point is, if they think that the country's going in the wrong direction and they're going to change direction, listen to what they're saying, folks. That means they're going to turn these numbers to negatives. It's got to be. If the country's going in the right direction with positive numbers and they're going to turn it to negative numbers, turn it in the other direction, that means it's going to go into negative numbers. Would it not? Listen to what they say, what they're going to do. And like I've always said, if Donald Trump doesn't stand a ghost of a chance, he's making this country a laughing stock. The RNC convention was a joke. That all that plagiarism with Mrs. Trump and all that kind of stuff, man, that is buffoonery. That is joke. The world is looking at us like, really? They're just laughing at that whole menagerie of nonsense, that whole circus. That was a circus. That was a zoo. That don't make no sense right there, folks. I'm just, you know, I'm a very patriotic American, you see. And for that kind of stuff, that's why I haven't made any broadcasts or anything like that, because I'm sitting back at the bewilderment of what's going on. They put Mrs. Obama up there next to Mrs. Trump, and for Paul Manafort to say that there's no plagiarism there, that dude must be nuts. He must be out of his mind, or he is so hell-bent on putting forth a lie and getting stupid, you know, gullible, mindless people to follow it. You got to be, you know, I hate to say it, but you have to be in the category of mindless, you know, if you're going to believe this nonsense right here. You looking at it, you can tell. Anybody can tell, educated or uneducated, that she plagiarized Mrs. Obama. And anyhow, flattery, I mean, you know, when she plagiarized, plagiarism is the greatest form of flattery. They must have loved what she said and who she is for them to plagiarize her in that manner. And that's okay, because the cat's out of the bag, you know. And like I said, Donald Trump, he's done. He doesn't stand a ghost of a chance to become president of this nation. Okay, now, they say Mr. Obama has got this thing going in the wrong direction. He is at over 51% in his ratings. So he got to be doing something right. you know, to be an African-American, first African-American president, and to follow up and finish up over 50%, remarkable. I don't care what nobody says. And especially with all the opposition that he's had from Mitch McConnell on the right. Remember, the first thing he said when Obama got elected president is we're going to do everything in our power to stop him. Well, that power must not be too powerful. I mean, they did stop him, you know, from around every corner and every turn. He wanted to shoot off, you know, he asked Congress, begged him for 40 missiles to go shoot over at Al-Assad, and they wouldn't do it. Had he got them 40 missiles to shoot at Al-Assad, he, like you said, I got them in our sight. But, you know, of course, we haven't followed up on the things that we've liberated, you know, thus far, so we couldn't make any, you know, make matters worse. I get it. I understand that they, you know, pulled those missiles back, but you know, well, we got a quagmire of a situation, you know, with Syria and all that other kind of stuff as a result. We do need to get better at following up what we started. You know, we got to finish up what we started. The thing over there in way back in Iraq, over in Baghdad, you know, we got to get back in there and finish all that kind of stuff up, you know, because there's too many loose ends, way too many loose ends. We could have the Middle East rocking and rolling right now in a great situation. The agenda that you have to do that over there in the Middle East, go ahead and put it forward. Stop getting down in the weeds of politics, and let's start liberating the people and getting the nation building going. There's a lot of revenue, a lot of money in exports, you know, from this nation, you know, around the world to the Middle East and to Africa. We don't need to wait another day, another minute. You know, that's our economy. That makes jobs for America. You see, I get it. I understand it. Let's go. Let's get it going. You know, you get caught in them political weeds and stuff, and you get stagnated. Can't nothing happen. You need to stop. You know, don't worry about the doggone right. Let's go. All right. Let's see. After the convention, Trump's numbers are getting ready to fall, folks. He's on life support right now, if you didn't know it. Like I said, because the convention was a joke, and he's on life support, folks. It's all I got. 90 seconds. Love one another. Take care of one another. That's the right thing to do. That's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. But anyhow, where are Trump's taxes? He don't want to give them up. Now, can we ask the IRS, since we're going into such a critical stage in the nation's history, can we ask the IRS just to hold up on the audit and not allow him to use it as an excuse? You guys are professional enough in the IRS to stop, to pause an audit. I know you do it. You know, I know it's done. To pause the audit so he can release his taxes. Everyone knows how much he really don't have and all the different things that he really hasn't done. It's a killer. It's a deal killer. All right. Now, the reason they want to perpetuate, you know, this whole illusion of Trump versus Hillary type thing. I mean, it's all about revenue for the media. It's all about media revenue. Can you imagine if Mr. Trump was not in the running and they didn't have a Republican person in the running or someone, you know, with much less firepower than Mrs. Clinton? Yeah, I mean, the ratings, as far as the media is concerned, would drop significantly. Okay, it says I got 10 seconds, so hopefully I can keep talking. But take care, love one another. And I'll be back tomorrow to finish up the broadcast if I can't keep talking. But we'll see. Okay, let me just keep talking to see if I got a few more minutes. But anyhow, it's all about revenue, folks. You know, and like I said, the media will steer the situation, you know, the conversation, you know, in a way in which to keep things on edge. You know, because people like sensationalism. You know, they'll tune in to news and media broadcasts when there's agitation, anxiety, and sensationalism and stuff. Now, case in point, they got this thing called the Quinnipiac poll. Now, the Quinnipiac poll, I kept on hearing it. Based on the Quinnipiac poll, you know, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are neck and neck in the Quinnipiac poll. The Quinnipiac poll. They kept on reciting. I said, what the heck is this Quinnipiac poll? Hey, folks, look it up. So that's what I did. Quinnipiac is a university and a poll in Pennsylvania. And a university in Pennsylvania. Hello, Quinnipiac University, Pennsylvania. This is where the poll comes from. Now, the poll was from June the 30th to July the 11th, and it polled 1,015 Florida voters, 955 Ohio voters, and 982 voters in Pennsylvania, for a grand total of 3,852 people polled for the Quinnipiac poll. Now, out of those 3,852 people, how many do you suspect or believe were true to the demographics of this nation? Did they give the demography on this? No, they did not. But I can bet you a dollar to a donut, they didn't have many African Americans or many Hispanics in this particular polling based upon where it was sampled from. Most people don't even know the doggone poll exists. You say Quinnipiac, they'd be like, what? Huh? So does the poll even have any validity? Is it even credible? Does it even make sense? I think not. They need to do true polling. But you know what happens if they do true polling? It will show just how far Donald Trump is lagging behind Hillary Clinton to not even make it argue or issue or anything in the media, in the news media. And, of course, you know it's already done and decided by the Electoral College, you see, which I know they have to have Ms. Clinton, you know, winning this doggone thing because of her new alignment with Tim Kaine and Bernie Sanders. This is slam dunk, folks. The numbers don't lie. People do. The numbers don't lie. So let's look at it realistically. And if we do, and if the media does, you can best believe Donald Trump is done. Toast. Over. Finito. But at that point in time, so are the ratings for the news media and different things like that. They're going to fall because people aren't going to be interested. It's already a runaway, you know, train for Hillary Clinton, first female American president, historic, Tim Kaine, just a super guy, Bernie Sanders. Old Bernie just got a whole bunch of young folks on his team, black, white, blue, green, purple, it don't make no difference. You know, this is the true demographic of America, folks. You see, you look at the RNC convention, you'd be hard-pressed to find any people of color in the audience there. That's not what America looks like. That's what the polls should reflect. The polls should reflect the true demographics of America. And if they do, and the truth will come to light, and it'll be a done deal. You know, don't be misled. It just don't make no sense. This is the reason this broadcast comes on, you know, to let the ears of influence and the people, you know, that listen in, run with it, folks, get it out there and let people know that you know the truth. Now, let's see here. Okay, now Mr. Trump is trying to drive a wedge right now in between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. It's not going to work. You can tell by what Sanders said today, Bernie Sanders said today, he is 110% behind Hillary. That's a strong person to have in your camp. I'll tell you right now, between Hillary, Tim Kaine, and Bernie Sanders, it's a wrap. That's all the people in America, pretty much, except for a small few. Let's see here. So that's about that right there. But that's what he's trying to do right now, is being real clever and drive a wedge, you know, which is not going to work. They're going to pull that out. They're going to say, hey, cut that, you know, nonsense out. You know, like Bernie said, look, I'm with Hillary. We're going to ride this thing to the rails, and we're going to, you know, kick Donald Trump and all his whole colleagues and all Paul Manafort and all them, kick them to the curb and, you know, let them kicking and screaming, crying like babies. It's a done deal. I was watching the TVN the other day. I just kind of want to switch channels right quick for just a short moment before I close. And Kenneth Copeland was on there. And like I told you, Kenneth Copeland is like the don of, you know, or the kingpin of all the Christian broadcasts, you know, in the nation. I don't know if you know this or not, but he is. In order for you, I don't care if you're T.D. Jakes, I don't care if you're Eddie Long, I don't care if you Creflo Dollar, whoever you are, nation coast to coast, you have to go through Kenneth Copeland to be to have your televangelist following. I don't care if you're what's his name, Joel Osteen or whoever, Swagger, whoever. You have to go through Kenneth Copeland. Now, I heard Kenneth Copeland out of his mouth with my own two ears say that he was talking about the law. And folks, it just like knocked me out of my chair when he said this. But he said that the law is the New Testament, and that's it. That's all. The law is the New Testament, and that's it. Now, you can go back and listen to some of his broadcasts. It was probably about a week or so ago, but he did say that. So now, I find that very interesting that if Yeshua Jesus came to this earth, and he said that I did not come to change the law, but to fulfill the law, who the heck and what the heck is Kenneth Copeland? If you look at him real close, you can see who he really is. And I'm not going to say too much more about that, not unless I have to, but look at him real close, looking in his eyes, look at his smile, look at his face. You can see who he really is. He ain't got nothing to do with Yeshua Jesus or God himself, okay? How dare you come in to say that you're going to come and you're going to change the law and you are but a man? That blew my mind. There is but one law in the beginning, and it is God and his fulfillment. And you go back there and read, when he was given Moses the law, he called it, and they called it the law. And for someone to stand up there and say that is blasphemous to God himself. And he going to pay. Trust me on that. He already does. But it's going to really start coming out here in the near future, just how they have misled and misguided, thousands and hundreds and millions of people, billions of people in this earth. And it's the reason why we are in this condition and the situation that we're in right now today, because we have turned our face away from God and turned towards man. This is a prime example, folks. I couldn't believe God, put me down and watch this broadcast, but I just happened to be flipping through the channels and I turned up on there at that particular. That's how God works, folks. He wanted me to see that at that point in time. After I seen it, I was on there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and he said that, I was floored. I couldn't believe it. But then again, yes, I could, because I know who he is. But anyhow, folks, that's my broadcast for today. And I may come back and stand on that a little bit longer because I feel I may need to, because this is the problem. This is the problem with all mankind. This is why we are so broken up and so fragmented as one human race. We are all one people, one human race. We are divided by our beliefs and our ideology. This is what causes wars and rumors of wars and all this other kind of nonsense. We're looking away from God. If we all looked at God, we all one people, all one God, and all one way of life, and that's righteousness for your fellow man and all mankind, what condition would this world be in? We are all the same. We cut, we bleed, we put our pants on, blah, 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 all the things together. We have children, we love our families, we go to work, we pay our taxes, we do this and we do. We are all one human race, folks. The enemy, the devil, the evil, the negative side, don't want us to understand that. This is why we have people like this, Kenneth Copeland standing up, fragmenting people, breaking folks apart. He don't want this, like he said, he was loosed upon the earth. The spirit was, loosed upon the earth. But it's been carried out through and by mankind. It's not no animal or big old serpent that's supposed to come that's going to be walking around the earth with a big old prehensile tail and all this other kind of national. No, it's the spirit, and it's being carried out by humans, part of the human race. And we have to, bring this about and bring all mankind back to God. This is what it's all about. That's why we're here. This is what the dissemination. This is what the spreading. Amongst the land we know not. This is our purpose, to bring man, all mankind back to God. And it starts right here in America, the most powerful nation in the world. We got to start it right here and right now. But anyhow, I'm going to come back and stand on this subject in the next day or so. But take care for now. Take care. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Until the next broadcast, and that's going to be very, very soon, folks. Stay tuned. Stay, into it. So long for now.